now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip, but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up.
Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are once again live on a Tuesday night. Ladies and gentlemen, episode number 89. 89 episodes, 88 episodes down. This will be episode number 89. And as we do, as always, we will continue to give you the best wrestling on Tuesday nights. Continue to have interactive trivia. That's what makes us unique, is we love wrestling so much that we just have thousands of trivia questions that we come up with and just have some amazing fun every week. Of course, we have the Flavor of the Week, and we have TLC previews, TLC predictions. Before every pay-per-view, we have our pay-per-view predictions, and so we'll have that for TLC. So we have an action-packed lineup today. And we will continue to give you the best that Tuesday night can offer as far as wrestling, professional wrestling talk, interactive trivia, and the like. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I would love to present to you, as always, our Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, Derek.
Power packed Pancakes and Power Slams tonight. 89 episodes. This is something to celebrate. Pancakes and Power Slams, your friendly wrestling blog talk radio station. Let's keep this thing going. We're having fun tonight. We're having fun every night. 89 episodes worth of fun. 1989, what was the WrestleMania of 1989? Let's start that off with a little trivia question for our Pancakes and Power Slams host, Chris Featherstone. You can answer this if you think you can. Otherwise, get to us. Tweet.
I know that I can. I am the trivia buff. 89 was the Mega Powers Explode. Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage for the WWE title in Trump Plaza.
That doesn't count.
Why not?
No, it doesn't. Good job. We got us, everybody. Let's start off Pancakes and Power Slams. Hey, what's going on with the week of wrestling? Chris Featherstone, let's get the ball rolling. What's going on?
We are going to first start off with a trivia question. And again, thank you all for continuing to listen to us. 89 episodes. We got some fun things leading up to the new year. We got some fun things leading up to episode 100. We are inching closer and closer to our 100th episode on Blog Talk Radio. And we cannot do it without the awesome support by our fans, by our Crave Wrestling fans. All the tweets, all the Facebook messages, all the emails. Just get a ton of emails, ton of messages throughout the weeks. And I just really thank you so much for we could not do this without you. We cannot stay on the air without you. And we continue to appreciate your support, whether it's just encouragement, whether it's financial support, whether it's sponsorships. And if you want to give financially, you can give through PayPal, cravewrestling@gmail.com for all our financial supporters. And just continuing to appreciate wrestling talk on a Tuesday night, and we know what we're talking about. We know our stuff, and we give you the opportunity to know your stuff. And that's the reason why we ask trivia questions, which segues us into our first trivia question, which is, what year did Mark Henry debut in the WWE? What year did Mark Henry debut in WWE? Of course, we have our chat room. Our live chat room gets flooded every week, and in our tweets as well. I'm going to start spending more time addressing our tweets, Q&A. We're going to have some fun segments. We're going to have some tweet Q&A coming up here and our new format coming up after the new year. And we just continue to support us and continue to embrace Crave Wrestling, Pancakes, and Power Slams. And so Derek is trying to mumble some incorrect answer because he can of his impatience.
Let's get the ball rolling. What's the answer?
I'm not going to say it yet. Again,
well, you don't need to say it. I'm asking the chat room. Let's go, chat room.
Yeah, let's go, chat room. What do you have? Tweet at Crave Wrestling chat room. Again, our Crave Wrestling administrative team has the Facebook page open and live as well. So if you want to comment via Facebook, feel free to use Facebook as a comment hub as well. We have social media open everywhere, and we'll just continue to embrace the fans, and because you are the lifeblood of Crave Wrestling and the Pancakes and Power Slam show. 89 episodes, that is just absolutely amazing. We are 4 months away from our 2-year anniversary. How about that? 2-year anniversary. Let's do a quick trivia question for Derek. Who was featured on our 1-year anniversary?
That would be Lanny Poffo.
No, absolutely not.
King Kong.
Man, it was so long ago that Derek forgot, I guess.
Wow,
Elijah Burke.
Not.
Elijah
yes,
Burke.
Of course.
Yes.
I knew that. It was.
Yes, Derek was on. Derek was with us as well. Elijah Burke was our feature of our 1-year episode. And it was a fantastic interview. I still get comments and I still get adulation for that interview. It was really good. It really was a fun time talking to Elijah Burke. We talked for about an hour, and just the interaction through the chat room. Yes, the interaction through the chat room.
I was thinking it was the time you had Bruno Sammartino when he came on the show.
Oh,
that's what I was thinking about.
Sammartino, it was a silent interview. Yeah, the silent interview with Bruno Sammartino.
Bret Hart, he was here too.
Bret Hart, he was here in spirit. He wasn't here actually, but we're going to be continuing to bring in some really, really big names here. I've been talking to some people, and we've got some fun names. And Elijah Burke, thank you very much. Caprice Coleman, thank you very much. Crimson, thank you very much. Onyx, thank you very much. All of our indies. All of our indie stars, thank you very much. Derek, thank you very much for continuing to be a part of the show and bringing your indie experience to the show as well. And just the names that I've been talking to recently, and even names that are wanting to get interviewed, and so I thank you very much for that, and we'll bring them up, and we'll have some announcements here soon, so stick tight and continue to watch to continue to listen to every single episode, because you don't want to miss something very crucial. So listen to every single episode, because we're going to continue to give some really, really important information leading into episode 100. And of course, we have our year in review. We have our flavor in the week in review episode coming up for the new year. So pay close attention to that, and we'll give you more information in the coming weeks, since that's only a few weeks away. So stick tight for episode 90 and 91 as we lead to the new year episode, and of course continue to support us by letting everyone know about Pancakes and Power Slam. So again, the trivia question is, what year did Mark Henry debut in the WWE? And we'll get to Raw. Raw was in Seattle, Washington. It was really kind of the hometown welcome for Daniel Bryan, although he lives in Aberdeen, not too far from Seattle. But I tell you what, that Seattle crowd was absolutely amazing, and I wish that the Raw would have satisfied the crowd reaction, because the crowd reaction was, I did not know that Seattle was so hype and so amazing as far as crowd is concerned. Of course, we were used to seeing the ECW territories, the Northeastern territories being the ruckus crowd, and you've got your New York, your New Jersey, you've got your Chicago crowd is pretty hype.
Can I intervene? Aberdeen, actually in Seattle.
Yeah.
In their defense, Seattle is where grunge rock came from. Nirvana and Pearl Jam came out of Seattle, Washington. So, and they changed the face of music in the early 90s. Just a tidbit there, but that's something that came out of Washington. And they came out of Aberdeen, actually. So Seattle, Washington put grunge music on the map outside of wrestling. But let's go back.
Interesting little tidbit there. And you can see just the hypeness and the intensity of the Seattle crowd. And as much as I've noticed, I mean, I always try to pick up really intense, really high crowds. Sacramento, California has a really, really good crowd as well. And I tell you what, they in Seattle, they really did a fantastic job. And really, because one thing that a crowd should do, first of all, you're paying your hard-earned money to get a seat in a live audience that you're supposed to be feeding energy from. You're supposed to be getting energy from and feeding energy to. And so the crowd, a humdrum crowd, is a waste of money, because you can be humdrum on your couch watching the show live on television. So why are you spending your hard-earned money just to be a really bland, horrible, whack crowd? I just don't understand when live shows, and you're on national television. So just the hypeness. Every time I go to a live show, I am not crazy, but I'm funny. I try to do things and say things that really get the people laughing around me. I remember when I was at SmackDown a couple months ago and had a floor seat. It was really, really fun. I had a great time. And the people around me on the floor was like, man, this guy's funny. And I was just saying funny chants. And one thing that I do that's just absolutely hilarious is I just throw out names that people either forgot about or has nothing to do with the current brand of professional wrestling. Kamala, I threw out Kamala chants before, and the people will just feed off that energy, and they'll start chanting the awkward random wrestlers with me. And so I'll start saying Kamala or PN News from back in the day, just random names, and people would just, they would just be, the hilarity would just be at a fever pitch, and they would just have no option but to just join me with the chants. And so have fun when you go to a live show. Have fun. You're paying your hard-earned money, and to go to a live show and just have fun. Just do the best that you can to have fun and make your time memorable. So little interesting tidbit about that, and just some encouragement when you go to a live event. I'll be going here to a live event next month as well, and so I'll be having some fun. Daniel Bryan defeats Fandango to open up the Slammy Awards, and of course, absolutely. That was a fantastic opener because Fandango lost. So
yeah, it was a fantastic opener because Fandango stood his ground. He put on a good fight last night.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. I tell you what, he Fandango does a good job with
He's a good worker.
Putting on the, he does a good job putting on some good matches. I will admit that he does a good job putting on matches, and I'm cool with that, and we'll continue to talk about Fandango and bash him. as far as I'm concerned, but we'll continue.
Your concern doesn't bother me.
Well, hey, your concern doesn't bother me. How about that?
Two-sided pancakes and power slams. Who are you with, Chris Featherstone or Raw correspondent Derek?
Oh, nice. Well, he just promoted himself. he is the Raw specialist. He's a pancakes and power slams correspondent, but
Fandango, power slam specialist.
Fandango will continue to be a good mid-carder, and he puts on some good matches, and it's interesting because at this point in time, Fandango is used to kind of glorify the main eventers, and I mean, I guess someone has to do it, but Fandango's not going to, he's just not going to get over. The guy's not going to get over, and I said on the SmackDown review that I write for Wrestling.com that the only thing that he gets over with, or the only thing that makes him over, is Summer Rae and his theme music right now. And I don't see anything else in the near future for Fandango other than putting over upper mid-card or main event talent.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion. My opinion, Fandango. I kind of agree. Anyway, after that, we got the New Age Outlaws coming out, and what were they dressed as, Dumb and Dumber? I mean, then their tuxedos, that was hilarious. For the Slammy Awards?
It was definitely a Dumb and Dumber-esque looking appearance by New Age Outlaws. It was good to see them. Before we go to the actual awards on the show, I would like to, for those who don't know, I would like to give out the WWE.com and the pre-show results as well. You have the What a Maneuver of the Year goes to Roman Reigns' spear, which I totally agree. It defeated Daniel Bryan's running knee strike or Bazaku knee, if you are a fan of Japanese wrestling. AJ Lee's Black Widow and Antonio Cesaro swing. I think that Roman Reigns' spear is really nice. I think it's really, really nice. I think the spear really delivers, and it's a really, really snappy move, and it's perfect for Roman Reigns to get him over. But I tell you what, I think the one a maneuver of a year ago has to go to the Cesaro swing. That's my personal opinion. Looks like we got some difficulties here, but we'll pick it back up. Yes, we.
Personal opinion.
I don't know.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
The Cesaro swing goes. The Cesaro swing is the one a maneuver. The Roman Reigns spear wins it, but I believe that it should have went to the Antonio Cesaro's Cesaro swing. As far as the faction of the year, the Shield won over the Wyatt family, the Real Americans, and 3MB. And, of course, all these, again, are WWE.com results and the pre-show results. There were four results for the pre-show, and there was a big handful of results for WWE.com. So, again, Roman Reigns wins the What a Maneuver of the Year over Daniel Bryan's running knee strike, AJ Lee's Black Widow, and Antonio Cesaro's Cesaro swing. The Shield wins Faction of the Year over the Wyatt family, the Real Americans, and 3MB. I agree with that. I don't think there's anything out of the choices, out of the nominees. I definitely believe that the Shield wins the Faction of the Year over those other three.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. The Shield has phenomenally been something wonderful. I've always kind of compared them to what the Outsiders were with Hulk Hogan back in, in the mid-90s with the NWO. Although you've kind of seen, I don't want to talk about it yet, it comes next on when we talk about Monday Night Raw. There seems to be a bit of a split going on. But the Shield, phenomenal. I think it was a great move in the WWE. I think it was just absolute wonderful storyline. I want to keep the thing going, although I do like what's boiling up inside. But the three members individually are just absolute awesome superstars in their own right.
Absolutely. The You Still Got It, Best Superstar Return of the Year. Goldust defeats Rob Van Dam, the Bella Twins, Bruno Sammartino, and Chris Jericho. I definitely will give this, to, as much as I'm a big fan of Chris Jericho, it's my favorite favorite WWE superstar of the
Y2J.
Modern era. Yes, I definitely believe that Goldust should have got this. This is Goldust's best work that we've seen. And the guy's 44 years old. He's been around the business for almost 25 years, and he's had, I mean, the Goldust character, I think, debuted in 96, so it's been around for, 17 years? And so we've seen,
awesome.
Yes, we've seen many, many different incarnations of Goldust, even when he was, and even before Goldust, when he was the natural Dustin Rhodes. But Dustin Runnels, he's in good shape, the best shape of his life, and it just really shows how just someone should never give up. And there was many incidents, there was many, many parts of his life that really caused him to be depressed. You know, the cat's out the bag as far as his relationship with Marlena, how that went, and then their child, and all the depression that he went through with that.
The last one
to
wrestle Brian Pillman.
Yeah, and just you know that feeling as well, and it just really showed. And it's very inspirational. It's very, very inspirational for many people, even from a physical standpoint. I remember watching the old Survivor Series, and I think it was 1997 when it was Team USA versus Team Canada. Team Canada was British Bulldog, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Doug Furness, and Philip Buffon against Vader, Steve Blackman, Mark Mero, and Goldust. And this is when the Goldust that was like, it said, you know, he had the FU on his face, and it meant Forever Unchained or something crazy like that. And I mean, he was in just horrible, horrible shape. And just to see 16 years later, for him to be in really, really good shape, 44 years old, very, very inspirational. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that Goldust should have gotten that award.
Well, he should have gotten that award. I mean, to WWE fans, he is a household name. I mean, everybody knows who Goldust is. That's watched wrestling from mid-90s, early 90s to our age to just recently. And they recognize this talent. And I'm so excited. I'm ecstatic just to talk about Gold Dust today because it's such a relief, and it brings a lot of character back to Monday Night Raw. Pretty much Monday Night Raw last night was kind of lame. The Slammy Awards isn't what it was. Trivia question, real quick, to everybody out there. The very first Slammy Awards, what channel was it on and what year?
It was 86, wasn't it?
I think it was 85. What channel was it?
Yeah, 1986. I don't remember the channel. I think, I don't know. I don't know the channel. I would say, you know, my guess would be USA, but I think it was 86, if I'm not mistaken, because JYD won the best single performer award.
I think it was around the WrestleMania time. It was on MTV.
1986.
Look it up.
1986. We'll get into that. We'll figure that out. Because only had like two of them before they went to like the real ones back in like 95.
Yeah, well, there's no count. I'm talking about the original. The original.
The original Slammy Awards. There were only two of them.
I'm pretty sure it was on MTV.
It was 86 and 87, and they had the, because the whole Stand Back, you know, was in 87, I believe, you know, when they had the, and 87,
yeah.
they had all, like, just random weird categories, like, I think they had, like, the best personal hygiene, remember that, and then they had, like, a few of them that just didn't have any nominees, like, I think, like, Ted DiBiase won, like, the Humanitarian of the Year Award or something crazy like that. And then, like, Bam Bam Bigelow, I think Gina Oakland, too, but won, like, Best Head. And it was really weird. But, and then, like, Woman of the Year went to, like, the Honky Tonk Man and Jimmy Hart. They presented to it, and Elizabeth was the Woman of the Year back in the day. But... yeah, but as far as we'll go more into the 2013. Let's continue to go through the Slammy Awards because Raw was a bust, and we'll get into Raw. But just discussing the Slammy Awards is more intriguing than going to Raw. We'll tap into Raw, of course, as we do every week, but. We'll continue through the Slammy Awards here. Before we go, all the Slammy Awards before the show, and then when the show comes, we'll do the Slammy Awards in the order that we saw it. But next up, we have the Couple of the Year. Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella defeated, all of these were on WWE.com or the pre-show before the actual Slammy Awards. And the Couple of the Year goes to Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. They beat Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, Fandango and Summer Rae, Tyson Kidd and Natalya, John Cena and Nikki Bella, and Naomi and Jimmy Uso. I agree with that. I'm cool with that result. I think that Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, proved themselves to be the Couple of the Year with the success that both of them had this year.
Yeah, I would have gone with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon just because they are the WWE. They know what's the best for business, so I would have went with that. They went with Brie Bella, and yes. So I agree with that too. They're the flavor of the week, but I would have went to latter.
No pun intended. Tag Team of the Year goes to Cody Rhodes and Goldust. They defeated the Shield, Primetime Players, the Usos, and the Real Americans. A close second to me would be the Usos because I think that they really achieved a lot without really achieving much. They had some fantastic matches throughout the year against the Shield and the Real Americans and really everybody else. But Cody Rhodes and Goldust put the tag team division back on the map without question.
Kyle, without question, it's been awesome, and it's been the most exciting. I mean, the Usos are great. I appreciate the talent and what they bring to it, but just seeing Goldust and Cody Rhodes, the brothers from the Dusty Rhodes hierarchy, so let's keep that going. That's fun. It's brought more entertainment and more excitement than anything else in the tag team division for a long time. So definitely, hands down, that is the best moment.
Yes. Feat of Strength of the Year award goes to Mark Henry pulling the two trucks with his bare hands. I remember that. That was crazy.
Yes.
He defeated Ryback, shell-shocking Mark Henry, The Shield, triple power-bombing The Big Show, and Antonio Cesaro swinging the Great Khali. I remember watching that, and it was just amazing.
It was amazing. And has anyone answered the Mark Henry trivia question yet?
I did not see any correct answer yet, so I guess you kind of gave it away. Mark Henry is the 19. You can go ahead and give it. You can go ahead and say it.
96.
He did, absolutely, 1996. Congratulations.
Yes. Oh, man, I was scared. I almost thought it was 95. 96,
oh,
woo!
Yeah. Yes, 1996. The Say What quote of the year goes to the ones that did not win. The volcano eruption goes by Paul Heyman. Rise above this for Damian Sandow. My personal favorite, I'll say the winner, and I'll say the one that I preferred, which I think was the quote of the year. But the winner goes to Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes getting a slammy alone is great to me. But Dusty Rhodes says, "One stipulation, I'm in my boy's corner, and I'll be your huckleberry pie all night long."
I thought that
was just a really weird quote, because if I'm not mistaken, he said that to Triple H. And either Triple H or Stephanie McMahon, but I think he said that to Triple H. And Dusty Rhodes being Triple H's huckleberry pie, I just get nauseated at the very thought of it. But my favorite quote of this entire year is when good old Brock Lesnar was talking about CM Punk leading to his match at SummerSlam, and he said something. And he was talking to Paul Heyman, and he decided to get on the mic and it just seems like he had no idea what he wanted to say. It seemed like it was just on the fly, and he was talking about, you know, CM Punk is calls himself the best, but I'm the best, the best of the best. I'm the best and the beast. Paul, say something stupid. And I just really thought that was absolutely funny. It was one of the funniest things that I've ever heard as far as a quote is concerned, as far as a promo is concerned. It clearly showed that Brock Lesnar had no idea what he wanted to say, and it was just absolutely funny to me. Absolutely, absolutely funny.
Yeah, it was funny. I think, for me personally, and I don't have all of them in front of me, was Jerry the King Lawler has made so many funny quotes during Raw, and I've quoted a lot of that here on Pancakes and Power Slams throughout the last few weeks. The last one I can remember is being something about Andy Kaufman, but I want to remember that. That's funny to me. The whole thing about Brock Lesnar I thought was kind of pathetic on his part. I mean, are you kidding me? You need to be better prepared. You're professional. I mean, I see the humor in it. It's like, it's funny just because it's so, wow, are you serious? This is on live TV.
Yeah.
They're paying you money to do this. Are you, what? anybody could have thought of anything better for Brock Lesnar to say. But special kudos to Jerry the King Lawler. But, yeah, let's continue with the Slammy Awards. But Brock Lesnar, absolute dump. That was garbage.
Paul, say something stupid. I was totally just awestricken when I heard that. Like, really, Brock? You had no clue how to really prepare yourself for that promo. It was just absolutely funny. Favorite web show of the year, JBL & Co. Show defeats WWE Inbox, 30 Second Fury, and WWE Top 10. The best crowd of the year goes to the New Jersey crowd, East Rutherford, New Jersey crowd, the Raw after WrestleMania. I totally agree. And this is when they defeat, when Dolph Ziggler cast in his, well, when they went Fandangoing, which was absolutely just a craze. Yeah. And but the Raw, but the cashing in of the Money in the Bank briefcase with the Dolph Ziggler cashing in Alberto Del Rio, that was one of the biggest just pops that I've ever heard in one setting. Defeats WWE Payback in Chicago, Illinois, with the return of CM Punk. That was a hot crowd. SummerSlam in Los Angeles, California, and then the Raw in London, England. A couple weeks after WrestleMania. Catchphrase of the year goes to Yes, Yes, Yes by Daniel Bryan. That defeats Believe in the Shield by The Shield. We the People by the Real Americans. Follow the Buzzards by Bray Wyatt. Fandango by Fandango. And my personal favorite, because the yes chants are getting just dry to me, and I've said this before on the show, the yes chants are just getting bland and dry to me. But my personal favorite that I'm glad at least was a nominee was, "That's what I do," Mark Henry. That line. I'm so surprised that is not a merchandise just gold right now. I think that if somehow WWE would put that on a shirt, do you understand how much merchandise that would sell? That's what I do. I would absolutely buy a shirt. I would order a shirt. I don't even, you know, I'm not the one who buys WWE merchandise. I used to, but I guess I've outgrown that. But I would definitely get a "That's what I." Yeah, I remember I had DX
shirts. I had Stone Cold shirts.
Yeah, man. I had the Rock shirt. Finally, The Rock has come back, or something crazy, or Do You Smell What The Rock Is Cooking? I had a Rock shirt. I had a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt. And the thing is, I wasn't even a big Rock fan. In the beginning, I was, but I started to not become a Rock fan early in his finally The Rock has come back to whatever city he was at, even if he's never been there before, he came back to it, which was weird to me. But I just got out of the whole, it just got too cheesy for me, and I was just anti-Rock for a long time. When he made his heel turn back in the early 2000s, that's when I started liking The Rock again. And then when he became face again, I was like, I'm not interested. And his recent run, totally no way for me as far as The Rock is concerned. And to
Hardy Cooper.
No, he was just too stuck in the Attitude Era with his promos, with his mannerisms. It seemed like he was pulling some stuff, some lost promos from the Attitude Era.
He lost some well-deserved things that needed to be said.
Back from 97, I'll pass.
You'll pass. Whatever. Come on. That was great stuff. The Rock back was absolutely wonderful. I loved every minute of it. I want to see it again.
The Rock coming back was best for business, I suppose, because The Rock's presence.
You'd rather see Sin Cara out there.
Yeah, I would. Whether I like him or not, whether I like him or not, The Rock is best for business. I don't know if he's best for business. He's good for business. But I just wasn't – I just was not interested at all. Just the promos, the mannerisms, I mean, we've seen it before. I'm not – and the thing is, for me to pull for John Cena is a big, big deal, because many people know that I am not a John Cena fan in the slightest, but there's only been two people that I've actually pulled for John Cena this year, and that was The Rock and Alberto Del Rio, because I dislike – Alberto Del Rio more than I dislike John Cena. That's saying a lot. Del Rio is just totally stale to me. Absolutely stale to me. The trending now hashtag of the year goes to The Shield's Believe in the Shield over the Authority's hashtag Best for Business, over the Wyatt Family's Follow the Buzzards, and over the Real Americans We the People. I believe that the Follow the Buzzards hashtag was the best. That was my personal favored. Believe in the Shield was decent, but the Follow the Buzzards was the best for me.
Yeah, Follow the Buzzards was the best. Because, again, the promos are way better than what their in-ring work is. But the Believe in the Shield,
yeah,
I still believe in the Shield. I like that. So
yeah.
I understand the thing, so let's keep going.
Yeah, the This Is Awesome moment of the year goes to the Big Show knocking out Triple H on Raw. That defeated Daniel Bryan winning his second WWE Championship against Randy Orton. Kofi Kingston saving himself from elimination by using the chair of JBL at the Royal Rumble. That was a really, really nice moment. And I like I wrote on my SmackDown article that Kofi Kingston, that's really the only way that that he will keep our interest is by having those spots on the Royal Rumble every year. And it's hard for me to believe that it was voted by WWE.com or, you know, it was really involved with the fans as much as they say it is, because Big Show knocking Triple H out on Raw won over Dolph Ziggler cashing in the Money in the Bank suitcase, and that was hands down the best moment of the year. That crowd was just amazing.
It was amazing. I agree with that. But I also understand why they put Triple H and Big Show above that. That's what's best for business. And
no.
Big Show's been on the, I agree with what you're saying, but I understand why Big Show and Triple H won.
Whatever. Well,
yeah, well,
John Laurinaitis, he presented the Breakout Star of the Year, and Fandango, Biggie Langston, and the Wyatt
Fandango
family lost over The Shield. I understand why The Shield won, but People Power should have voted for Biggie Langston, because Biggie Langston was the Breakout Star of the Year, especially winning the Intercontinental Championship. The Shield was the Breakout Superstars of last year, and this year they started to get a little stale before the Authority angle at Survivor Series. But Biggie Langston, to me, was the Breakout Superstar of the Year. People Power.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have John Laurinaitis on Pancakes and Power Slams. Give it up.
Yes.
John Laurinaitis, what's going on?
It's such a pleasure to be here. It's such a pleasure to be here on the Pancakes and Power Slam show.
This is wonderful.
Absolutely, man. We're just having a bunch of fun here on the Pancakes and Power
Bring John Laurinaitis back.
Show.
Where'd he go?
Oh, man.
Chris Featherstone. Forget him. Get him out of here. Where's John Laurinaitis?
Yeah, forget him. Wait a minute. John, where are you at? Oh, yeah, I'm right here, man. I apologize. I had to down a couple NyQuils with my – oh, never mind. You don't need to know that. People Power. Anyway.
Power.
The beard of the year goes to Santino Marella. Well, he presented it. It goes to Daniel Bryan over Damian Sandow, the Wyatt family, and Zeb Coulter. Yeah, I don't think there's any type of dispute of Daniel Bryan, the beard of the year.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course. I mean, he's made that beard something he's special, something he's a part of. I'd never grow a beard like that. I don't want to say never. I never have yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun. And we'll get to the LOL moment of the year, which the New Age Outlaws presented on Raw. They presented the LOL moment of the year, which went to the Rock concert of the 20th anniversary. Actually,
yes,
voted
it great.
It was funny. It beat Vicky Guerrero,
like
fired
Rock,
his Raw GM.
I don't like Vicky.
I don't either. It defeated Titus O'Neil, throwing up on JBL, Michael Cole, and Zeb Coulter on SmackDown.
Whatever.
That was disgusting. And it also defeated the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal, charming Santino on an episode of SmackDown in September, which I thought was one of the worst moments of the year. That was absolutely horrible when I watched that. But I guess out of the choices, the Rock concert was, I guess, the LOL moment of the year.
Yeah, of course it was. A Rock. I mean, you can't go wrong with it. That's awesome. And it was funny. It was very funny. Vicky Guerrero, she got insulted. She was, yeah, who cares?
Then we get Damian Sandow defeating Santino Marella. And, I guess this was totally for the purpose. Here's the thing. They had the little filler matches in between the award presentations. I suppose that it was good. It was a good way to kind of bridge the presentations. It wasn't really much of a storyline development. I guess with the Brodus Clay and the John Cena Ascension, that was storyline development, which I was cool. I was cool with as far as the bridging matches. Damian Sandow defeated Santino Marella, and they did have a stare down between him and Big E Langston going into TLC this Sunday.
Yeah, well, Big E Langston, he's on a hot streak, and I mean, he's just going to keep growing, which is good because they need some excitement going on in the, especially with the Intercontinental Championship. So, I'm all down with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we get the double cross moment of the year going to Shawn Michaels. I don't think that was the double cross moment of the year. I think that there's absolutely and here's the thing. This is because I voted for the LOL moment of the year live, and then I voted for Mark Henry, I believe. And after that, I stopped voting because there's no way in the world that Mark Henry did not get that double cross moment of the year. That was just one of the best segments in the history of Raw. When Mark Henry fakes his retirement, somehow John Cena gets in the mix, get in the ring, and he gets him in the world's strongest slam. And while he's down, he says, you think it's that easy? I got a lot left in the tank. I think that was one of the
hilarious.
Best lines that I've ever heard. You think it's that easy? I've got a lot left in the tank. Just the ad-libs from Mark Henry as a heel is priceless. And for Shawn Michaels super kicking Daniel Bryan, it's hard for me to believe that the WWE Universe voted that over Mark Henry's segment.
Well, I can believe it because that's the best for business. Keep Shawn Michaels' name up there with everyone else. And I love Shawn Michaels. I love everything he does, but that honestly was not the best moment. I agree that Mark Henry was. And
absolutely.
Everything else Shawn Michaels excels at other than this one moment. So.
Yeah. And it also beat Paul Heyman turned on CM Punk. That was... That was kind of forgettable. Yeah, really, absolutely. And then we get to the Diva of the Year going to the Bella Twins. Again, it's hard for me to believe that the WWE Universe voted for this because, first of all, Mark Henry would have – I believe that if it was totally determined by the WWE Universe, Mark Henry would have won, and the Bellas would have not won. The WWE Universe did not, and it's hard. You better show me the polls, because it's hard for me to believe that the WWE Universe, and again, WWE was advertising and was really pushing that this was all voted by the WWE Universe, 100% based on the vote of the WWE Universe. It's hard for me to believe that people went on their WWE app and voted the Bella Twins for the Diva of the Year. To me, hands down, it's AJ Lee. I definitely believe it's AJ Lee. I would have preferred Natalya because she's my favorite diva, but AJ Lee, all the things, the angles that she was involved in, she was Divas Champion. She's been Divas Champion for almost 6 months. And so there's no doubt that it's AJ Lee.
They only voted Bella Twins because it's good for their e-channel show.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it's called. That's the only reason. AJ Lee has been the forefront of the Divas division. So it's, yep, I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's what's best for business. I'm not too sure that the popular vote was instilled.
I totally agree with that. It's hard from those two categories. It's really, really hard for me to believe that. But then we went to Goldust, Cody Rhodes, Rey Mysterio, Big Show, and Ryback. Goldust, Cody Rhodes, Rey Mysterio, and Big Show defeating Ryback, Curtis Axel, and Real Americans. A good match. I think the babyfaces winning on this one was good because, as far as the heels are concerned, Real Americans had a little bit of a push, but it looks like they're starting to become not very relevant anymore. They're trying to do something with Ryback and Curtis Axel, but I guess the bigger story is kudos to the tag team division. It's really developing very well. I don't know if I like this Rey Mysterio and Big Show tag team, because every time I think about that, I think of SummerSlam 92 when Rey Mysterio was on a stretcher. Well, Rey Mysterio was in WWE 92. SummerSlam 92. SummerSlam 2002, I believe it was. A little bit after his debut, Rey Mysterio was in a feud with Big Show. And Rey Mysterio was stretchered, and then the Big Show grabbed the stretcher and swung it like a bat to the pole, and it was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, man, I remember that. I forgot.
Yes,
wow.
and I keep remembering that moment every time I think of the Big Show and Rey Mysterio together. I maybe could get
it's a horrible
the hang of it.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best, because I mean him and Sin Cara actually was a pretty good tag team, and Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara was a pretty good tag team, and that's a lot saying coming from me, because I've told many people Rey Mysterio is one of my favorite WCW wrestlers, but in WWE has been totally a bust for me. But as far as the tag team division as a whole, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I like the tag team division, but with the Big Show and Rey Mysterio Jr., no, I do not like that team at all. Big Show deserves better. Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
I like the tag team division a little better. I do. I like it, but I don't. It's not to where it could be, where it should be, where it has been. But honestly, the Cody Rhodes and the Goldust thing just. Anybody that they face, they make them look absolutely awesome. So,
absolutely, that's why
keep them in the picture.
The year. Absolutely, Superstar of the Year was presented by Shawn Michaels. Goes to Daniel Bryan. I don't think there's any dispute with that. Daniel Bryan was the Superstar of the Year without question. Yep, Brodus Clay defeating Xavier Woods. More of a Brodus Clay heel turn. He splashes him, then he gets him in some elbow drops afterwards, and then Tensai, what are you doing? I think that was funny as well. But I like it, though. I like this edge. I like this heel turn, this prelude to a heel turn from Brodus Clay. I think it's much needed, And I think that, like I said before, this is the best thing that we've seen with Brodus Clay, and because in the other time, if he was just a regular babyface, he would just be coming out dancing and losing. So at least Brodus Clay is getting some time focused on him instead of just losing matches. So I'm okay with this. Actually, I'm on board with this angle.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't really think anything else is going to come out of Brodus Clay, but yeah, it's something different to see. So I was excited to see it. Yay!
Yeah. And next we have the insult of the year, presented by The Miz, going to Stephanie McMahon again. People voted for Stephanie McMahon as the insult of the year, going over anything Deb Coulter says, and Paul Heyman, and AJ Lee when she went off on the Total Divas. Really hard for me to believe that the popular vote was actually instilled on this one.
I don't think so either. I mean, that's, the whole thing's fixed. I mean, come on, it's wrestling. So yeah. But, you know, to believe in the fantasy of it, it's great. I love it. And but no, I don't believe. You know what's best for business? That's what they picked last night for everything.
Yeah, I agree. Next trivia question. We have a lot of material today, so not as much trivia. But we'll continue to pick up the trivia in upcoming shows. What WCW pay-per-view became home to the War Games match? What WCW pay-per-view became home to the War Games match? All right, next we had CM Punk defeating Dean Ambrose. Really, really good match here, similar to what they had on SmackDown. Really good match as well. And like I said on my SmackDown review, which you can catch on WrestlingInc.com, I do think that they should have actually had this match on the pay-per-view, because I'm just not buying CM Punk versus The Shield. The only thing that I can see come good out of this is if they continue to tease the Roman Reigns face turn. Not a full face turn, but if they continue to tease the face turn from Roman Reigns and somehow he costs The Shield the match, possibly, maybe that will work. But just CM Punk against the entire Shield at a pay-per-view, no, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. But wow, what's going on with the Shield? I mean, I don't like to see that going on with them. Maybe I do a little bit. But,
I think so. I think it's important, and I think that maybe I think a Roman Reigns face turn will do wonders.
Yeah, it'll do wonders, and I mean, it should do a lot of good. But I mean, let's see what's going on with the Shield. Things are going to go down. Things will be different in a few months. We'll be talking about it. But what's going on next?
Yeah, I definitely think that we'll talk about the Shield in a different way in the upcoming months. Roman Reigns spills CM Punk post-match to prepare for TLC. Extreme Moment of the Year presented by Mick Foley goes to CM Punk, exacting vengeance on Paul Heyman. Again, I don't think that – yeah, it was. That was not the Extreme Moment of the Year. The Extreme Moment of the Year was when Ryback speared John Cena through the LED board at Extreme Rules. Out of those nominees,
yeah.
The Shield triple power bomb and the Undertaker, they triple power bombed a lot of people. So I don't understand that. And then the Wyatt family crushing Kane at SummerSlam. That wasn't really an extreme moment to me. Ryback spearing John Cena was a pretty good spot, and I definitely think that should have won.
Yeah, that should have won. So, I mean, again, go on to the next. Slammy Awards.
Best for business, I suppose.
Best for business. Doggone it.
Yeah. Rowan and Harper defeated the Usos, leading to TLC. It was a really good match. Again, the Usos just puts on very, really good matches. And Rowan and Harper, they're growing on me, but I'm still not sold as far as their in-ring ability as a whole. I am, I have followed Luke Harper when he was Brody Lee in the Indies, and his work was better in the Indies, I guess, because he didn't have the "I have to tame myself" mentality. Many people actually share that because, it's just whatever in the Indies. So, match of the year was presented by Bret Hart, and it goes to John Cena versus The Rock at WrestleMania 29. Are you serious?
First of all,
these nominations were just not good. And the match of the year, in my opinion, was Brock Lesnar and CM Punk at SummerSlam. That match was absolutely, it was amazing. And many people know that I'm not a big CM Punk advocate, but I would say that that match was really, really good. John Cena and CM Punk, Chris Jericho and CM Punk were good matches. Chris Jericho and Daniel Bryan was also a good match. But as far as the nominations are concerned, I definitely think that Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus The Shield was the most emotional match of the year by far. And just the stipulation that came with it and just the crowd went bananas. That was the only good thing that came out of Battleground. That saved the pay-per-view because the pay-per-view tanked. But that was the only thing that came good out of the pay-per-view that saved it from being one of the worst ever. And so I believe that Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus The Shield should have won. And again, I don't think at all that this was totally the WWE Universe, because I don't know if you picked this up, but when the Bellas won, the crowd booed them ridiculously. And the Bella Twins are baby faces now, and they got booed. So obviously the 10,000-plus people in Seattle in the stadium, in the arena, they didn't vote for the Bellas. The majority of them didn't, because they booed them. So it's hard for me to believe that it was totally based on the votes. And this here, John Cena versus The Rock, John Cena is not a popular, as far as people liking his matches, he's not one of the best, for sure. And, Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus The Shield was the best for me. Out of these choices,
it was. I mean, everyone was booing them. I totally agree. I heard that. I saw that. Everybody in that arena had smartphones, and they all went to the WWE app and voted. And when they saw that, they were like, "Are you crazy? Are you kidding me? There is no way." And the Cody Rhodes and Gold Dust against the Shield, I totally agree. That was emotional. That was absolutely awesome. And so it was a mistake on WWE. They're doing I don't know what they're doing anymore. We just have to watch and accept it.
Yeah, pretty much watch and accept it. Totally agree. And then you got the championship ascension ceremony. You got a bunch of world champions just watching a promo, basically, and that was just weird to me. It was a bit boring. I will give. Speaking of boring, Seattle was chanting boring when Randy Orton was talking, and I'm sure that made you happy because you're totally not an Orton fan. But I tell you
Orton.
What, though, John Cena did, he did when he gets serious on a promo, as far as cutting a promo, he does a good job. I'll admit that. I even admitted that going into WrestleMania, after WrestleMania 27, and going into WrestleMania 28 as well. When he has some serious promo time, and he's, you know, he's good on the mic. And I think he proved that, the whole Daniel Bryan thing. I kind of believe he did use Daniel Bryan as a shield, so to speak, to stop him from having a bunch of jeers and heel heat. I do think that he did use Daniel Bryan in that capacity, but it was creative, and I do think that John Cena's mic work, surprisingly, saved that segment. And then the end of it, they were teasing another fake John Cena heel turn. We're not going to see John Cena turn heel at the pay-per-view. We're just not. I think it would be fun. It would be creative. But Randy Orton as a babyface again, I'll pass. And if John Cena turns heel, it would be a de facto turn, so to speak, by Randy, for Randy Orton. And I'm not interested in another Randy Orton babyface turn at this moment. I'm not even really interested in a Randy Orton heel turn. Better yet, a face turn, because it just wouldn't work at this point in time. And then they had the scuffling at the end. CM Punk hits Triple H, CM Punk gets super kicked by Shawn Michaels, who gets a knee strike by Daniel Bryan, and this and that and that and this, and then Randy Orton tries to RKO. I don't even know who he tried to. He tried to RKO Dugan. I don't. I think it was CM Punk. I don't remember who it was. Maybe either CM Punk or Daniel Bryan.
Maybe
Daniel Bryan. But whoever it was, he tried to. It may have been Cena. Whoever it was, he tried to RKO one of them, and then he gets pushed to Stephanie, and then that turns into a pedigree given by Triple H. Really weird to me leading into TLC. I think they tried too hard to call some creativity or some suspicion or a cliffhanger leading to the pay-per-view. I don't think it went over too well.
No, it didn't go over too well. It's going to be another pay-per-view that they produced within the latter half of 2013, and they've all been mediocre, all of them. Within the last five pay-per-views have all been lackluster, and this Raw just kind of proves to go into another lackluster, so I'm not looking forward to the pay-per-view. I'm going to see it, I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to talk to everyone in Pancakes and Power Slams because we love wrestling and everything that it has to represent. But the pay-per-view, again, I've been just kind of lackluster, but we give it to you how it is.
Absolutely. That's what we do.
That's what we do. I can just see people in the crowds with just signs that look like speech balloons. It just says, that's what we do, hanging over them.
Absolutely.
Not so much on T-shirts, but just cut out cardboard speech balloons.
Yeah, totally. All right, let's go to SmackDown again. We don't have much time for SmackDown or Impact, so just go to WrestlingInc.com and check it out. Main evented by Randy Orton defeated Daniel Bryan. I said on the review on SmackDown review on Wrestling.com that I don't think that Daniel Bryan should have lost cleanly. I don't think that was a good idea. As far as Impact is concerned, Magnus defeating Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy defeating Bobby Roode to both advance to the tournament finals. So we'll see who is the tournament winner here coming up. And then we have ROH, which was Outlaw Inc. defeating the American Wolves, and Michael Evelyn defeating Roderick Strong, Matt Taven, and Jay Lethal in a Four Corners Survivor match. All right, let's go to the flavor of the week. We're going to talk briefly about the first five Royal Rumbles, 88 to 93, I guess you can say six. That would be six Royal Rumbles. But what we'll do is we'll just really briefly talk about the main event, who won the Royal Rumble, and just some little tidbits about it. And we're going to cover all of the Royal Rumbles. So for the next few weeks leading into the Royal Rumble, the flavor of the weeks, we're going to talk about all the Royal Rumbles, and we're going to section them out. And we're going to, of course, when we have more time, we'll spend more time in delving into the Royal Rumbles. But now we don't have much time, but we'll definitely commit ourselves to talking a little bit about it. 1988 Royal Rumble was won by Dugan.
Dugan,
absolutely. And again, for those listening to us for the first time, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for taking your time listening, and hopefully, you know, this will continue to cause you to listen more times and let everybody know about Pancakes and Power Slams Tuesday nights. But we have a running joke. Derek and I watched the Mid-South DVD when it first came out. And Axel Jim Duggan was one of the biggest names that came out of Mid-South Wrestling, UWF. And we listened to a commentator, and he would, or an announcer, and he would announce him as Jim Dugan instead of Duggan. And it was clearly, I mean, you know, when you spell his name, and it just, the name, it's, there's no way that you could just kind of, there's no way that you could confuse the pronunciation of his name. And I think even the commentator said Duggan, you know, when they would refer to him as Duggan. So, but the announcer called him Hacksaw Jim Dugan. And so from then on, just running joke,
Dugan.
Because just the name, just the pronunciation of that is just really funny. So whenever you hear say Dugan, that's a running, just random funny joke that will insert itself into a moment that's fitting. So, and then we have 88. He wins the Royal Rumble. And we also had Steamboat defeating Rick Rude, Jumping Bomb Angels defeating the Glamour Girls, and then the Islanders defeating the Young Stallions. It was non-pay-per-view. It was on USA, and it was, you know, it was a good way to expose Dugan.
Good way to expose Dugan, but it was the beginning of an awesome pay-per-view. It's just going to keep, well, I don't want to say keep growing, because it's been kind of lackluster the last few years. But anyway, it's a staple with the WWE. It's a staple for pay-per-view. Keep the thing going. I'm looking forward to it. It's coming up here in a month, January. It's going to be here soon.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely. And it's actually probably my favorite pay-per-view of the year, because it's because the whole suspense of who's going to win. I like the suspense angles. I like anything revolving suspense when it comes to pro wrestling, because things are so predictable now. And just even with certain angles that is kind of unpredictable, they still don't do a really good job with the payoffs. And so with the Royal Rumble, still creates that excitement of who's going to come out next and what legends are going to come back. And so it's a very, very fun pay-per-view to watch. And Chris Jericho came back last year, and I'm marked out. I only marked out twice this year, and it was when Chris Jericho came back to the Royal Rumble in January, and when Biggie Langston won the Intercontinental Championship. That's the only two markout moments that I had this year. But in 83, Big John Studd won by eliminating Ted DiBiase. We also had King Haku defeating Harley Race. Big John Studd. Rockin' Robin defeating Judy Martin, and then Jim Dugan in the Hart Foundation defeating Dino Bravo and the Fabulous Rougeaus.
Yeah, 89. I have faint memories of that, but I do remember. But I do remember Big John Studd winning.
Yes.
Other than that, let's move on to 1990. I'm a little more familiar.
That was a bit odd that Stud won. It was a bit odd.
Why would Stud win?
Yeah.
Why would Dugan win? Didn't. I mean,
well, at least Dugan was a popular babyface at the time. But Stud was kind of reaching like the he was reaching the twilight of his career, and just wasn't
neither one was
big of a
WWE championship run.
No, but at least Jim Duggan was very over as a babyface. But Stud, that was probably one of the oddest Royal Rumble wins to me. 90 goes to Hogan. He eliminated Mr. Perfect at the end. And then also we had the Bushwhackers defeating the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers, the Brutus Beefcake, fighting the Genius to a double disqualification. Ronnie Garvin defeating Greg Valentine in a submission match, which is very interesting. And then before the Royal Rumble, the Big Boss Man was defeated by disqualification against who? There's a trivia question. So the Big Boss Man, he lost to Joaquin by disqualification? No. He lost to Dugan.
Yes, that's what I said.
Sure, that's what you said. No, but he lost to Hacksaw Jim Duggan. At 88, 89, and 90, we have one common thread, and that common thread is Dugan. And
dude,
so,
hey, well, I want to say about Royal Rumble 1990 was Mr. Perfect's debut. I was so excited about that. I don't know why. I just love Mr. Perfect, and he's the reason I love heel wrestlers. And that was great. I remember that clear as day. Mr. Perfect was going to come out and defeat Hulk Hogan. He didn't do it, but anyway, I saw Mr. Perfect, and that was the greatest thing that happened to me in third grade.
Mr. Perfect was definitely one of the best heels, and definitely was one of the – I mean, he established himself as a main event heel but never won the title. That's unfortunate. As far as 91 is concerned, we got the Rockers defeating the Orient Express, Boss Man defeating the Barbarian with Bobby Heenan. Barbarian is actually one of my favorite big man wrestlers. I think he's my favorite, other than The Undertaker, number one. Number two goes to Barbarian, and I'll explain that on another show. We don't have enough time. But the Barbarian one of my favorite big man wrestlers. One of my colleagues tweeted me the same thing, like, please explain why the Barbarian, and I explained I had a good explanation. We'll go into remind me, people in the chat room, Derek, tweet, anyone, remind me in a future episode to explain one of my personal favorite big man goes to the Barbarian. Sergeant Slaughter defeated the Ultimate Warrior for the WWE Championship in 91. Absolutely. It was. Sergeant Slaughter at the peak, at the height of his career at that time. And, I mean, talk about your Desert Storm, Desert Shield angle. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just one of the most menacing heels that ever stepped foot in the WWE. Definitely one of the most hated people at that time. They struck gold when they did that. Absolutely. The Mountie defeating Coco Beware. That was Ted DiBiase and Virgil defeating interestingly enough, Dusty and Dustin Rhodes lost to Ted DiBiase and Virgil in Royal Rumble 1991. Yeah.
And what happened
and
after
then
that
Hulk
match? What happened to that match between DiBiase and Virgil?
Virgil actually kind of decided to go his separate ways with DiBiase and led to a match further down the line with them two.
Exactly. That was awesome. That was a turning moment, that pay-per-view.
Yeah, but Virgil didn't really see much after that, though.
Yeah, well, he did, because he hooked up with Roddy Piper.
But his peppermint striped pants, what the heck was that all about?
That was, and he had those tassels on his boots.
Yeah, what in the world? I mean, you come from a bodyguard, you know, a big buff bodyguard of Ted DiBiase to peppermint striped pants. I'm Virgil. No way. That was horrible. That was really,
really
bad gear.
It was funny.
It was horrible. Nobody cared about his gimmick after the candy cane trunks. No way. No, there's no way after the candy cane trunks. You could keep your Virgil. You could keep your bodyguard. When I saw the candy cane trunks, Virgil became irrelevant to me. A lot of people, I've had talks about this with people. Wrestling gear and wrestling theme songs play such a crucial part in the development of someone's character. And how in the world am I supposed to believe that Virgil is irrelevant or someone who I'm supposed to pay attention to or someone who's going to get a push with some candy cane chunks? What? I don't understand why they would decide to do that. And Hulk Hogan wins again in 1991 by defeating Earthquake last in the Royal Rumble match. 1992, we had President Jack Tunney forfeiting the championship because of a situation between The Undertaker and Hulk Hogan, and that caused Jack Tunney to forfeit the championship, which led to the one and only Royal Rumble that the pay-per-view was for the World Heavyweight Championship. So very, very intriguing. In what, 25 years, it has never happened before, other than 1992. It would be very interesting if it happened again, but never happened before. That was a fantastic idea. The New Foundation, Owen Hart and Jim Neidhart defeating the Orient Express, and Roddy Piper defeating the Mountie for the Intercontinental Championship. I remember that moment distinctly because I was a big fan of Piper, and him beating the Mountie was awesome to me. The Beverly Brothers defeating the Bushwhackers, so be it. The Natural Disasters winning the tag team championship. Well, they beat them by count out. They defeated the Legion of Doom. That wasn't really good run by Legion of Doom and the WWE tenure. And then the one and only time, he said, with the tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment of my life. Ric Flair wins the Royal Rumble match and becomes the WWE champion. Fantastic moment in the career of Ric Flair. And lastly, Royal Rumble 1993, kind of 92 was like just reached the climax, just was the gold standard of the Royal Rumble, and then it declined in 1993. We had Dork the Clown defeating we had the Steiner Brothers Doink defeated Jim Powers, and it was a dark match though. But Steiner Brothers defeating the Beverly Brothers, whatever. Shawn Michaels defeating Marty Jannetty for the Intercontinental Championship. And then we had Bam Bam Bigelow defeating the Big Boss Man. Bret Hart defeating the Razor Ramon for the WWE Championship. This is when Razor Ramon was really at the peak of his heel run at the time. It's probably the most popular. It's probably the furthest that Razor Ramon went as far as his career. He wasn't as popular as he was when he was a babyface. But Yokozuna defeating Randy Savage at the end to win the Royal Rumble. I suppose Yokozuna was a good choice at the time. He was really popular.
Yeah, Yokozuna was popular, but it didn't really build up to anything. And 93, almost forget about it. 92, Ric Flair. Woo!
Yeah. I think 93 was almost as... I think that 93 almost was as bad as Virgil's peppermint stripe candy cane trunks.
Now, come on. But the tassels on his boots. I mean, come on. Those
with
were
the
awful.
Tassel on the boots. Oh, that was horrible. All right, we got a few minutes. Just a real quick, we're going to go with the TLC predictions. We got Fandango versus Dolph Ziggler. I got Ziggler on this one.
Hey, you got Ziggler. I got Fandango.
Biggie Langston against Damian Sandow for the Intercontinental Championship. They're building Biggie Langston. I definitely see Langston winning this one. Sandow's not very relevant. They're just trying to have a heel in the mix right now.
Yeah, Sandow's not there yet. Biggie Langston, definitely. He's going to win. He's going to take the title. He's going to keep it. Good. Better him than Curtis Axel.
Oh, totally agree with that. AJ Lee against Natalya for the Divas Championship. I really, really hope that Natalya wins, but I don't think she is. I'm going AJ Lee on this one.
Yeah, me too. AJ Lee is going to win. I agree. Natalya should win it better, but AJ Lee's got the fire going right now.
Then we got the 2 3-on-1 handicap matches between CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. CM Punk against The Shield, Daniel Bryan against the Wyatt family. I think that Daniel Bryan will lose. He would be kind of recovered again by the Wyatt family. Maybe they'll do something with that. Maybe he'll come back at the Royal Rumble and win it. I think CM Punk will win, unfortunately. I think CM Punk will win because I think that we'll see more dissension between the Shield, which would lead CM Punk kind of squirreling a victory, because maybe a spear was intended for Punk and it hits Ambrose or Rollins. That's what I can see that happening.
Yeah, you predicted it. That's what I'd almost put maybe 10 cents down. That's what's going to happen. 10 cents because I'm cheap.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I totally agree with that. So.
Then we have the Champion of Champions match, John Cena, Randy Orton. I don't think we'll see a clean finish. I think that each person will take the other championship. So I think they'll have some spot where they're both up there. Randy Orton will snatch the World Heavyweight Championship. John Cena will snatch the WWE Championship. I just don't see a unification. Not saying that unification won't happen at all. I still don't think it should, especially leading to Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I don't think it's good, but I don't see if it was unified, I think it would be, I think Orton would squeeze it out somehow. That will happen, but I don't see a unification happening. I don't see a clean finish.
Not yet. I don't see it. It's going to happen soon. I kind of see what you're saying with they'll grab either one. So, I mean, that's a good analogy. I didn't really think of that angle. So we'll see what's going to happen. Maybe we can be surprised, or maybe it'll just be another lame pay-per-view. I hope not. But we'll see. 2014 is going to be a new year.
I totally agree. Fantastic show as always. We're going to squeeze this time to say – CraveWrestling@gmail.com for all of your thoughts and all your support. At Crave Wrestling PayPal for all your financial support. Thank you very much for all of those who are continuing to support us through anyway. And Crave Wrestling the hashtag for Twitter, at Crave Wrestling, and also Crave Wrestling on Facebook. So post all your Facebook whatever there. We also had some independent promotions post some things on our Facebook page. So, yeah, we welcome that. Totally we welcome that. So be sure to, you know, let us know. If you are part of an independent promotion, put it on our Facebook page. And I'll actually the promotion that sent it to my Facebook page, I put it on wrestling.com. So if you want some more exposure, do things like that. So thank you so much for continuing to support Crave Wrestling. enjoy TLC. Hopefully it's good. And until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.